January 2014, when we first received registration approval from the Registrar of Societies, we could then function as a legal witness approved by God and men. It was the Holy Spirit who moved His people to come together to worship our great God in this simple manner, according to His word, in spirit and in truth. Today, we remember His faithfulness towards us. We want to acknowledge that it is great. Great is thy faithfulness, echoing the words of the hymn which we shall sing at the close of this worship service. For no word could describe our gratitude and appreciation toward His name. 2 years is a milestone in the life of an infant church. Thank God for keeping us. Out of it all, we must say the Lord hath delivered us. We extol His name. And going forward, we dare not be presumptuous. The Lord enabled us to hold prayer meeting and worship service week after week. We must say, great is His faithfulness. It is our prayer that the Lord will enable us to continue this good work for His name's sake till He comes. The text for our meditation is taken from Lamentations chapter 22, verses 22, Lamentations chapter 2, verses 22 to 27. It is found in the front page of your newsletter. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. These 6 verses in the heart of this book of Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah as an eyewitness to Judah's downfall and the capture of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 586 BC. It was in such trying times that these words were penned by the guidance of the divine Holy Spirit. How can God be good when everything around us seemed to be falling apart? When Israel was under the chastitive hand of God's discipline, He knew that it is the will of God that judgment will come forth from the north. And He wrote 5 chapters of lamentations or mournings as expression of sorrow, as cries of grief. You mean in the midst of grief and sorrow, God is still good? As I ponder and read this book of Lamentations, I cannot but come to this conclusion that it is indeed the prophet Jeremiah's experience that God's goodness has not failed even in the most adverse times. Are you going through trying times in your lives? May this good word from the Lord encourage your heart. May the blessed Holy Spirit breathe these beautiful words of life into a most ailing heart. Throughout the book of Lamentations are descriptions of destruction, calamity, pain. It is often a picture of human life plagued by sin, sorrow, and death. It is written by 22 verses in each chapter, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5, and sandwiched in between chapter 3 with 66 verses, three times longer. And if you examine the verses carefully, you'll find that chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4 were written in alphabetical order, as it were, in the original. And chapter 3 is special, right at the heart of this book. It is also alphabetical order, in alphabetical order, but in three verses each, 66 of the 22 alphabets of the Hebrew language. And the third chapter seemed to show us the thoroughness, the completeness of pain, of calamity, of destruction. And yet, right in the middle of it, you see God proclaiming Himself to His people that He is right there with them through the most difficult times that they may encounter in their lives. In the midst of total darkness and misery is embedded these gems of the presence of God. And here is described for us God's great faithfulness that is grounded in His unfailing love and His unfailing goodness. These are the two thoughts that we want us to meditate upon. Rejoicing in God's unfailing love, verses 22 to 24, and resting in His unfailing goodness, verses 25 to 27. Verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not." This is the eighth letter of the alphabet with three verses there. And the first word given there is a very familiar word called hesed, or loving kindness. The King James translator rightly used the word, "the Lord's mercies." Mercy is the undeserved kindness of God showered upon His people. It is because of His unfailing love that we have our being and our life. And we want to acknowledge Him. Did not God first love us? We were rebels, but He reached out to save us. This is the highlight of this section. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. When God led us to begin this witness, we were in a state whereby we needed God most and called upon Him for mercy to help us. As our pastoral advisor, Dr. To, said in Hokkien or Teochew, Chamsi. And Dr. To prayed on the phone on a Saturday morning, close to noon. And this was how this new church was started. We were undeserving, but it was the Lord's mercy that came upon us, that we were not consumed because His compassions fail not. We are people who belong to Him, who loved our great God, Jesus Christ, who saved us by His glorious gospel, His life, His death, His resurrection. We are His dear children. He loved us dearly. And so He opened a way for us to begin this witness in this rented premises in the afternoon to call upon His name. This sanctuary has just been renovated on the 28th of January, 3 days ago. It was completed. We praise and thank God for more light coming into the sanctuary. Indeed, God brings His people through many trials of faith to prove us. And most of all, in these trials, we proved Him faithful. God said to, or God through the words of Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "The Lord did not set His love upon Israel, nor choose Israel, because they were more in number than any people, for they were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved Israel, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto their fathers, hath the Lord brought Israel out of the mighty hand and redeemed with a mighty hand and redeemed Israel out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not finished, that we have not reached a dead end, because His compassions, His tender mercies, fail not." The word compassion is the root word or the root verb for love. It is described as the outworking of God's love for His people. And Jeremiah is describing his God as an unfailing living fountain for him. Not dead, but living, always there to help them. Our Lord's compassion never runs dry. The poor sinner can run and flee to Him to be nourished each time. This is who we are. And we acknowledge God's good hand. And you know, it's so interesting that the word compassion comes from a noun that describes the womb that bears an unborn baby. And it's interesting, this word picture that the Lord gives us through that word, God's love for His people, how it's likened to an unborn baby nourished in the mother's womb. The umbilical cord supplies the oxygenated, nutrient-rich blood to nourish the unborn baby. The unborn baby is fully dependent upon the lifeline of the mother. This is how we are dependent upon our Creator, our Sustainer, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we acknowledge our disability before God, God will show us His exceeding ability through us. These are words of hope that the prophet Jeremiah experienced, and he is writing it so that we too may receive help in our times of need. When the Lord Jesus Christ was upon earth, He went about all the cities, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people, because He saw the multitude and He was moved with compassion on them. For they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd, or having no shepherd. It is by the compassion of God that we have life, spiritual life. And it is by the compassion of God that He has brought us together as a witness for Him. Before we are saved, we are on that everlasting, or on that road to everlasting destruction. But God intervened in our lives through the gospel. the good news that was given, that was able to change our hearts and transform it and give to us spiritual life. For this we are thankful. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We experience as God's children His love afresh, moment by moment, day by day. Much like the manna that was rained down from heaven when Israel was in the wilderness. In the wilderness, there was nothing that they could take hold of for themselves. They had to fully depend upon God. And God proved Himself faithful. This is the same God who has bought us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. He has done a good work in our lives, and He has called us into this fellowship, into this gathering of His people here in this premises. And we are thankful to Him. The Lord is my portion. This is a metaphor that Jeremiah used to describe or compare the Lord to an allotment of a land or a property. How when Israel came into the promised land, God allotted them with land, divided it among the tribes and the families so that they may till the land, and with it came their provision. This is our God. We can depend on Him. He provides for us. He cares for us. We have just begun this year with a reading of the Bible in 1 year, the Andrew Murray daily devotion. Well, we have got more copies of them, just received them. If you like to begin, it's not too late. We are just at the close of the first month. Many of us have started this reading, that it may grant us fresh tokens of God's love as we abide and wait upon Him. When we abide in God, we experience His love. And the experience of God's love causes a rejoicing in our heart. And that's what Jeremiah wants to tell us in these first 3 verses. We rejoice in His unfailing love. As we continue to abide in His faithful word, God's great faithfulness is grounded by His unfailing love. This is our first thought from verses 22 to 24. And the second, His unfailing goodness, verses 25 to 27. This second section of 3 verses begin with the letter Teth. And the word there is toth, meaning good. 3 times the word good is used in verses 25, 26, 27. Right at the front, the Lord is good, is the testimony of Jeremiah. Amidst difficulties, amidst great trials, he was able to experience God with him. The Lord was his portion. That relationship was so close, it gave him strength in his heart. Although the world outside may collapse, but inside his heart, he saw God keeping him, strengthening him, providing for him. Verse 25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." The Lord is not far away. And as we wait upon Him, we receive help from Him, forward-looking. We do not know what will be for this new year of grace 2016. But we have learned in the last 2 years to patiently wait upon God for all our needs in prayer. And indeed, we are still learning to depend on Him, learning to do His will, learning to seek Him. If indeed the Lord is our portion, then we must wait to experience His goodness. And so this is our resolve as we move forward from this second year, that where we have any need, we would seek the Lord in prayer. The Lord has given to us a Wednesday night prayer meeting whereby we come together to seek the will of the Lord, to seek His strength, to seek His mind. And He has not failed to show us the way. And it is in that same spirit that we move forward, resting in His unchanging goodness, is this second thought. And verse 25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." There is that saying by a godly saint. All comes at the proper time to him who knows how to wait. And contrast this with this prayer. "Lord, grant me patience, and I want it right now." Waiting is the most difficult task in this world of instant gratification. Instant noodles, everything at the press of a button. We don't like to wait. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, ready for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. This was the observation of this man called Campbell Morgan, Bible teacher and pastor of Westminster Chapel, 1933 to 1943. He died May 16th, 1945, at the age of 81. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The word "man" there describes a spirit-filled man. Only a spirit-filled man would have the strength, the spiritual disposition to wait upon God. Not easy. Do not run ahead unless the Spirit of God would fill us, to grant us the stillness. Oftentimes, under pressure, we would fret and collapse. Today, we see in the mental hospital, many men, often top men in their profession, where stress became so great that they have mentally broken down. What about the Christian? Jeremiah says, "He who waits patiently and quietly for his Lord to show his will and to act accordingly will not wait in vain." I believe, and the word "hope" in verse 26 is the same word for wait. So the Christian's wait is a hopeful wait, not a hopeless wait. And I believe that God gave us this name, Blessed Hope, is to help us to see the certainty of His help. And we know that there is one promise of God that is still unfulfilled in the Bible, that is His coming again. And we see that it is going to be soon. And therefore, we must be prepared. Are you ready for the Lord's coming again? Here in this text is taught to us to taught to the Christian how to wait patiently. The word wait quietly means to wait silently. There is a kind of a stillness in the heart to leave everything to the Lord. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. The Lord has established this witness for us, indeed, that we may be his witness, though undeserving as we are. And so Jeremiah says, acknowledge our inheritance and our hope in our great God, verse 24. Fervently seek after God in prayer, verse 25. Wait quietly for his deliverance, verse 26. And verse 27, diligently, with discipline, do our duties, verse 27 says. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. Jeremiah's great faith in his God gave him a proper perspective on suffering and discipline. And he was able to say, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. He had to continue to do his duty. We have to continue to do our part as a church, to love one another, to continue to be his witness in this vicinity, to continue to go out, give out the tracts, print new ones. This is our work, the work that God has entrusted to us. May the Lord find us faithful. May we continue to worship him, to seek him in prayer, in the meditation and study of his word. Great is thy faithfulness. Indeed, God is faithful, and he wants us to be counted faithful to serve him by depending upon his unfailing love and to rest upon his unfailing goodness. Surely the Lord will see us through. Let us pray. Father in heaven, if we faint in the day of adversity and testing, our strength is small. O Lord, thou hast deemed it fit that thou to begin this witness for thee here in this vicinity. May thou grant us faith and fortitude. May thy grace continue to abound. And Lord, we pray that thou grant us the discipline to serve thee, to love thee, to love one another, O Lord. We want to experience once again thy mercies afresh. For thou art our good God, and thou art the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who is able to take care of us. O Lord, as we rest upon thee, may thy Spirit rest upon us and fill us and send us forth to do thy bidding. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.